Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Tuesday, May 26th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 158, the second paragraph, on the third day, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only. And it ends with, "And in finding God had found himself." No, that's not the ending. The ending is to have a spiritual experience. Okay, our readers today are the 12 Steps, Jerry L., the 12 Traditions, Stacy H., and the readers of the text are Karen K., Dawn B., and our backup person will be Elaine S. I can't remember your last initial, Elaine, sorry. The share ID for Monday, May 25th, is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,684. That's 14684. And for the Tuesday, May 26th, this morning's meeting, 7 a.m., is 14,690. That's 14690. All right, hang on 1 minute. Okay, over here. Okay, our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Jerry L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. This is Jerry L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Louisiana. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Jerry L. And I will now ask Stacy H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me share and do service.
Well, thank you, Stacy. Yeah, thank you, Stacy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 function on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 158, starting with the second paragraph on the third day, and we'll be reading through that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Karen Kay to begin our reading.
Thank you. I'm Karen Kay. I'm a recovering food addict. On the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. His wife came scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. What I'll share is this: turning my will and my life over to God and trusting God with my meals, with my chewing, which comes in my, with the food that comes in my mouth, is the biggest thing that I've ever trusted God with. And I don't think there's anybody that can do it for me but God. And I don't know quite how it happens, but I just know that the times that have led up to me being neutral with food has been followed by me admitting my powerlessness, me knowing that I am not the one that can solve the problem. I'm the one with the problem. And then, really, the gift of desperation, that gift of despair, asking some power greater than myself to please take the reins. And then that means I'm done running the show. I'm not in charge anymore. And I need to be able to turn everything over, everything. As soon as my as soon as my feet hit the floor in the morning, next followed by my knees, giving it up to the power greater than myself. And then starting with my first meal, and then how I live the rest of my day is that I'm not in charge. That's been the one thing that has helped me the absolute most in my life and with addiction and with the food addiction, which has been the absolute hardest thing for me to ever deal with, is by, I guess, saying, I can't deal with it, but I truly believe there's a power greater than myself that can. And because of everything that I have gone through up to now, I'm willing to turn it over and say, I'm done. I quit. God, take it over. And then one of the main things that also stems from that is, as it says in here, be willing to do anything necessary. Having a sponsor, taking direction, calling before picking up.
Time.
Thank you very much for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Ginger. Karen Kay. Oh, my God. Sorry
sure.
about that.
It's okay.
I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 158, the second paragraph on the third day, that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now open the lines to those who'd like to share.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Kathy K.
Kathy K.
Roz
Kara
G.
L.
Roz G. Who was after Roz?
Kara.
Kara. Oh, hi, Kara. Kara L.
Hey, Mo.
Yeah.
Tamara C.
Tamara. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
One more.
Kelly S.
Kelly S. Okay. I got a good lineup here. So we have Elaine B., Kathy K., Roz G., Kara L., Tamara C., and Kelly S. Okay, we'll start off with Elaine B. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mo, and everybody doing service on the line today. It's so great to be here with all of you, some special friends in the lineup as well. So, all right. You know, on the third day, so that means that they were here the day before and the day before. And in both times, their prospect, the lawyer, Bill D., ended up, telling them, wow, a spiritual solution, I don't know, God ain't done so much for me lately. he ought to be able to do anything, but he sure didn't do much when I tried to kick this racket by myself. But on the third day, he gave his life to the care and direction of his creator. And he was perfectly willing to go to any lengths to do whatever was necessary. So their visits and their persistence put that little spark of hope in him. And though he wasn't really totally open at first, he became open enough to take this vital, crucial step. You know, those ABCs, realized he had a problem he was not able to fix, that he couldn't manage his own life, that probably no human power could or would have relieved his alcoholism, and that God could and would if he were sought. I love the fact of the reference of creator, and I often refer to my higher power that way. And one thought I had really not that long ago, maybe just about a year ago, is, you know, if I'm going to create something, I'm going to create it for a purpose. And that's what I want to do. This is the beginning step towards regaining my opportunity to become what I was created to be. But meanwhile, I was living with the delusion that bad feelings are bad and they must be smashed, stopped. You know, all those little indicators in my life that there's something wrong, like, selfishness of seeking, fear, anger, resentment, all of those things were just bad feelings that needed to be soothed. I need to find my ease and comfort again. And boy, Ben and Jerry were sweet friends that would always show up. They were always available if I had the money in my wallet. Anyway, you know, his wife came in with some dubious hope, and boy, the relationship that they were going to have as he pursued a spiritual experience was second to none. When I look at what's happened in my marriage, in my relationship, especially with my husband, boy, it's changed. And my relationship with this higher power, I can finally get the ease and comfort that I seek when I seek God, when I seek God, when I clear away the wreckage and the blocks using these wonderful steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine B. Kathy K., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Kathy K., recovered in Boston. And this paragraph just brings me back to what a struggle I had. It took me much more than 3 days to become willing to seek a direction and help from a higher power. And I, for those on the line who are agnostic or new to this book and to the steps, I want to say that what I was able to do is listen to my fellows and take what actions I was willing to take. And it started with getting a food plan and making outreach calls and going to meetings and studying the steps as they're laid out in the big book. And it has taken me, well, it took me a good 10 years before I really was able to start reaching out to a higher power, which I could not define and still can't in many respects. But I know that when I am feeling vulnerable, scared, resentful, any kind of negative experience that I may have, the answer is to pause, to pray, and to be open to guidance and support. And that's what relying on the Creator is all about. So, it's great to be reminded of what my process was, how it may not be what was outlined by this individual, but it certainly was mine, and everyone has their own unique journey to finding their Creator. I'm so grateful that I continue to come back, and I'm still here today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. Roz G., followed by Kara L. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. My abstinent day was July the 10th of 2019. So I'd like to look at experience. I looked up the word. I'm walking my dog, so you may hear a car drive here and there, but... I looked up the word experience on my phone. Practical contact with and observation of facts or events. And then they have in quotes, he had already learned his lesson by painful experience. So the big book talks about having an experience. And in my experience, these are practical things that happened to me as a result of working the steps. And every time I work them over and over, I get a new experience. And I have a fairly new sponsor. It'll be about a year that we've been working together. And she said to me, what we want is a new experience. We're looking for a new experience here because you've been doing OA for how many years now? And you're not experiencing abstinence. So we're looking for a new experience. So that meant for me getting a new book and a new this and everything clean, a clean slate. And so I've been getting all kinds of new experiences through working the steps. And the latest one was, I want to keep it in spiritual. The latest spiritual experience was that I learned that the three top character defects of mine are jealousy, envy, and pride. And they run my life. They ran my life. And so I had the opportunity to feel jealous once again of my mom and sister over the weekend. But you know, the experience was, wait, you have become aware, Roz, that this is what drives your behavior when they do something you don't like. And so instead of reacting and getting angry, I paused, I did 2 10-steps, and I committed to not reacting to that situation until I had prayed and meditated about it. And the result was, I bought some fresh strawberries for my mom. I brought her some strawberries. And then I called my sister to ask her how she was doing. They didn't even know that I was angry and jealous and all that crap that comes up. Because the big book says it's going to come up. It's not, I'm not going to become a floating fairy that never has feelings anymore. So I had a spiritual experience over the weekend, and I continue to deepen them as I work these steps. And with that, I pass.
Oh, perfect. All right. Thank you, Roz G. Kara L., followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo.
Sorry.
This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. First of all, thank you for everybody giving service on our Team Tuesday this morning and bringing this meeting to us. I've heard some really amazing things already this morning. So I'm going to just look at, you know, the line that said, she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. Well, even reading those words, my like heart just feels so full, right? For me, you know, he begun to have a spiritual experience. That was that step where I moved from self and into my God, my higher power as well. To no longer be self-propelled, but God-propelled. And that was huge. And others saw it. She begun, you know, his wife begun to saw it before he did. And if we look at the back of the book, under spiritual experience in one of the appendices, it explains the educational variety and explains the white lightning variety. And I had an educational variety, right? And then today, now I have spiritual experiences all the time. And I'm so blessed because when I become an open vessel for them, when I work these steps diligently and like my hair is on fire, then I'm more open to spiritual experiences. You know, I've had them on phones with calls where we pray together, and I can feel, you know, and I like that line that she saw something different already, because I know I've walked into meetings or I can hear in somebody's voice when they're having a spiritual awakening, and that's a gift. And it's, or it's that something that you know about somebody that you just want to be around them because they feel good to be around. You know, we often explain it as they have that light in their eyes. And today, that's my goal. I want to be that person with a light in my eyes. And how I do that is I turn to my higher power for everything. What should I wear, God? What lipstick should I have? What should I have for breakfast? I ask God's opinion on everything. Because God cares, and God wants to keep me on the path and being as maximum service as I possibly can. For that, I am entirely grateful today. And I look forward to hearing from everybody else. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Tamara C., followed by Kelly S. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. He turned his life over to the care and direction. My story is that I grew up believing in God, a God, and I tried many times as a teenager and young adult to give my life over to God. And when I did, I expected that now everything is going to be great. Now I'm going to always feel peaceful. I'm going to have this great purpose in my life. And I felt such joy and relief. I would be on this emotional high. And then it wouldn't last very long. And I would think I did something wrong. Something was missing. I wasn't doing it right. Why was I back into feeling dissatisfied and restless and fearful? And then I developed a practice of every morning spending some quiet time with God. And I would turn my life over to God every morning. And I would feel peaceful and I would feel good. And then by halfway through the day or sooner, I would be back into feeling stress and negativity and think, man, why doesn't it last? But now that I've read the directions in the big book, and there's so many good prayers in there and good suggestions and examples, and using those directions, I get to each morning, the very first thing when I wake up is surrender. And then I get to surrender to the care. I get to trust that my higher power really is compassionate and really does love me and accept me just the way I am and cares enough to go with me throughout the day and guide me. And then to surrender to the direction, just asking, you know, God, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And then I can ask my higher power, be the director, run the show, lead this day, drive the bus. And then throughout the day, getting to practice meditation, pause, watching for resentment, selfish, dishonest, fearful, reaching out, giving service to others. And my sponsor would often ask me, did you want to pause right now and invite your higher power in? She talked about you exercising my God muscle. And I would think, what, right now with you on the phone? Okay. And then kind of got me, you know, to start exercising that muscle throughout the day. So today I don't have to stay in negativity. And my spiritual experience is growing and it's lasting. And I'm just so, so grateful. So grateful for the big book and the directions. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Tamara C. And before I go to Kelly S., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 158, starting with the second paragraph down on the third day, and it ends with, he begun to have a spiritual experience. And after Kelly, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. I'm Kelly S. from Georgia, compulsive overeater. What this paragraph or what this message really sends to me, and it can still be a daily struggle, is that when I turn my will and my life over to God or power greater than myself, whatever, you know, makes sense to you as an individual, it really means that I have got to accept that there is something out there bigger than me, because left to my own thinking, I go into the disease mode, and I can really go to some bizarre places. I can talk myself into resentments. I can, you know, give myself answers that aren't necessarily correct. And so finding that connection is a daily basis, and being able to recognize through talking to other compulsive overeaters or in meditation that I'm trying to do my own thinking again, because my own thinking brought me into 12 steps rooms, which the purpose has been to teach me a new way of life. So, you know, when I had to, self-sufficiency was truly what I believed was my greatest strength. And that greatest strength became my greatest enemy, because I really struggled in turning my will over. But it's a daily program with a daily reprieve, and I work it every day that I can. So that's all I've got, and thank you for letting me share. Bye-bye.
And thank you. And so before I take names, I want to remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have their experience too. So with that in mind, I will take some more names.
Hi, I would like to share. This is Natalie B.
Carol K.
Natalie B. Who was after Natalie?
Carol K.
Carol. Got you, Carol.
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace H.
Nadia B.
Nadia B. I have room for a few more. Anyone else want to share?
Whitney C.
Whitney. Got you, Whitney? One more.
Dan L.
Got you, Dan. Okay. All right, here we. That's a good lineup. Here we go. Natalie B., Carol K., Mary Grace H., Nadia B., Whitney C., and Dan L. Nadia B., you'll get us started. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Did you call Nadia B?
I did. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. Love this paragraph. I guess, you know, this is where I can relate it with my step three of work and a decision. You know, I think for me, and again, Nadia B, gratefully recovered in Connecticut. Forgot. No, I was so not sure, and I couldn't make decisions for years and years and years. Do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? Do I have to do everything that people do in this program? You know, and certain things you guys did were really scary for me, you know, like following food plans and, you know, completely giving up on, you know, certain substances and really being invested in doing this work, you know, because I had so many things that were more important in my life. And here it is, he says, I'm perfectly willing to do anything necessary, you know, this vigorous program of action. And, you know, finally sure, finally making that decision based on what? Based on, you know, the ABCs of this program, you know, I tried to control this. I couldn't. So I let this, you know, creator that is caring and directing, you know, to guide me through. And I didn't even know if that existed. I just had to act on trust. And because, you know what, do I have to lose at this point? My life is in shambles. And so, you know, when I finally realized that, that decision, you know, saying that I'm ready to do anything was super duper easy. And I think, you know, why it was easy for me, because of you guys who come before me, my sponsors who reassured me on, you know, and worked with me through the first two steps, helped me see what my previous mistakes were in my previous experiences. And, you know, and when I'm ready, you know, I'm just relaxed. I surrender to this power and beginning to have and begun to have my spiritual experience. And I am an educational variety, just like so many of us, where, you know, this spiritual experience has begun to unfold for me once I was in this state where I was ready to do anything that was necessary and suggested. And I love that, you know, something I heard recently. Thank you, Mo, on the line, that, you know, this program is not a program of suggestions. it's suggested program for those who are willing to do anything necessary. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Natalie B. Carol K.
No. This is Natalie B. That wasn't Natalie B. That was Nadia. I'm Natalie. She took the share before I could get on. I went first.
Sorry. I didn't get her name at all. Okay, I goofed. Sorry. All right,
yeah,
Natalie.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
You go,
okay,
Natalie.
Hi, this is Natalie, recovering compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. Thank everybody for the service and shares. I've grown up knowing God. I grew up in a family where we had a faith and being Christians, but, you know, and I rededicated my life, and I did all those things, you know, I did all these things. I was a very legalistic person. And so when I hear the reading, you know, I think, you know, oftentimes there wasn't always this awakening, but now that I'm in program, as I feel that my higher power has been with me even before I wanted to acknowledge his power in things, I was always negotiating or trying to connive or trying to manipulate God, which is, it sounds crazy, but in my human heart, that's what I was trying to do. If I just don't eat these things, then, you know, God will give me what I want. If I just act good enough, then this will work out. If I'm just thin enough, if all these things that I tortured myself with, and in program, I started to learn that I was selfish and that I wasn't really trusting my higher power. And therefore I wasn't having, you know, the spiritual awakening and the breakthroughs that I knew were possible. Breakthroughs for me are miracles, you know? And so I didn't trust God. And now I'm in a process of trusting God. And it's scary because I'm having to, you know, step out of the boat and get on the water. You know what I mean? And I know that looks different for everybody depending on their conception, but it's still a faith walk, you know? It's like I always think about that saying, ships are safe in the harbor, but that's not what they're for. And in a way, all this stuff where I thought I was being this big risk taker, and in reality, I've been playing it safe because I didn't want to trust that my God, my higher power, could do more for me than I could do for myself. And so as I start to step into that, it's not easy for me. I'm scared, oftentimes terrified. But it's a different type of, like, it's not so much as it's a fear where I think something negative is going to happen. It's because for once I know I'm not in control, but I know that my higher power is, and he's been helping me with every bite and every step. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Natalie B., for jumping in there. Carol K., followed by Mary Grace H. Good morning, Carol K.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. This is Carol K. in New Jersey, recovered. So we're seeing step three here, gave his life and care and a direction over to his creator. And he was willing to do anything necessary. And boy, can I relate to this. This is where we have our connection with our higher power. And I came in here and I was agnostic. I didn't know if there was God. The only time I ever prayed is if somebody was in a hospital, somebody I loved. And you know, so I had no relationship with God at all. And I'm so grateful that I do today. And, you know, I can totally connect where he says his wife saw a change in her husband, that she was hopeful because she saw something different in him already. He had begun to have that spiritual experience. And I remember that my husband, I'm married 38 and a half years. And until I came into program, my marriage sucked. I wasn't happy from the day I got married. I just wasn't happy. I was in the food. I didn't know I was in the food. I didn't even know what a compulsive overeater was. And all through the years, there was such resentment between my husband and I, and either both of us had communication issues. Why would I have to communicate? I had food. Gave me that ease and comfort that I was looking for because of the buildup of emotions, which took me to the mental twist, which took me to the food. So I never had to discuss anything because the food was doing for me everything I needed it to do at that time in my life. And I'm just so grateful with step three is where I threw my hands up because when I came in here, I was on a ball to my ass. That was the day I came back from the surgeon. He said, I can't touch this hernia. Too risky. You may not make it off the table. And if you come in as an emergency case, I don't want to be the doctor on call. And this was back in, 5 years ago. Eventually, I had to have the surgery, emergency surgery, which was like 5.5 months ago. I'm still recovered. I'm recovering from the surgery. I have an open wound because I'm still overweight. I'm down 100 pounds, but I have another 100 pounds to go. And sometimes I'll say, you know, God, I'll look up and I'll say, God, why can't I lose this faster? Please help me. And then I shut my mouth and say, you know what, Carol, shut up. This is not on your time, on your terms, because I gave my whole life. I didn't just give my food to God. I give everything in my life to God. If I have a question in my head, I ask God for the answer. And this is just a beautiful new way of living. And as far as her seeing that change in her husband, well, when I got recovered shortly after, I don't know, 6-8 months, something like that, my husband asked me out for a date the first time in all those years. He said, Carol, would you like to go to a movie with me? And from then on, my relationship with my husband is growing just like it is with God. Look, I'm sitting here with a hole in my abdomen. It's being packed every day. And I could tell you this, I'm the happiest today than I've ever been in my entire life. As long as I'm connected to God, nothing matters. Because God's got it. He's got everything. And with that, I'm grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol Kay. Oh, I don't have my microphone in my thing here. Sorry about that. Mary Grace H., followed by Whitney C. Mary Grace.
This is Mary Grace H. calling from California. So I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm truly humbled by listening to some of the shares today. I'm also an alcoholic, and so I'm going to give you my experience with the third step. I knew nothing about the third step or about how to work the steps. Somehow I knew where somebody in the program lived. And I drove by her house and I just stopped. Said, would you like to do the third step with me? And she said, yes. And we got down on our knees and I think we might have held hands. We opened up the big book and we read the third step out of the big book. So the follow-up to the story is that was 41 years ago. And she and I are both still sober today. And we're very good friends, best of friends, actually. So to me, to have a friend for 41 years is pretty amazing. But what it meant to me at that time, and it still sort of means to me today, and again, I don't know why I just knew, that meant I needed to do the fourth step. It said, I'm perfectly willing to do anything necessary. And at that time, I also had to give up a certain job that I had that probably wasn't the best thing. And so I do the third step every morning, usually before I get out of bed. I know a lot of people say they get out of bed and hit the floor, but mine is usually still in bed. And I don't dare get out of bed unless I do some prayer and meditation first. But anyway, with the food, you know, a little bit of more of a struggle. I've been abstinent now almost 9 months. Very grateful for that. But I just love listening to the shares. And I'm maintaining 80-pound weight loss, which is wonderful. And I feel better, which is wonderful. And I'm actually watching a virtual church service pretty much every day these days with COVID. And that's been wonderful. So I'm expanding my spiritual experience. Not that you have to watch anything on a ritual, religious, anything, but that I'm finding great comfort in that at this time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary Grace H. And we have 5 minutes left, so if Whitney C. and Dan L., you'd take about 2 minutes each. I'd appreciate that. Whitney C., followed by Dan L. Whitney?
Yes. Hi, may I be heard?
Yes, you may. Yeah, yes, you are.
Thank you for letting me share. This is my first time sharing on the line. I'm new to a vision for, not new to a vision for you, but just have recently returned. And I just wanted to say, I've been willing to share this experience and this journey has been incredible. On the 26th of last month, I made a phone call to ask for help, and I received that. And I had such a similar experience to the gentleman that shared on the reading today, the lawyer that on the third day became willing to give his life to the care and direction of his creator. And that is what I've done, or what I've asked, that the creator would help me. I've become perfectly willing, and that willingness has enabled me to have a life that where I see things differently. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous to share. So my main point of what I'd like to come across is that a month ago, I did not know that I would be able to. I've been in a 12-step recovery in another program, and I've had 19 months in that program. And in the last 30 days, my dad said to me, he looked at me and he said, "I don't know what's happened, Whitney, but the lights have come on." And I just owe that to this program and the fact that I figured out in the doctor's opinion that I can't do this without a spiritual experience. And that's something that I've been missing from my other program. I've been relying on myself, and I've just become perfectly willing. And that perfect willingness has brought me into almost a month of entire abstinence. But so much more than that is the ability to see my family and to just have a new experience. And my poor parents that I've put through so much. And I'm hopeful that this program will enable me to be the daughter, the mother, and the wife that God created me to be. And to be able to say that today is nothing short of God working in my life, because that used to scare me so much to think of that higher power that I thought was unreliable. I'm finding that maybe he is reliable and capable to carry me in areas that I can't carry. I'm exhausted. I'm out of ideas. And I'm perfectly willing to do whatever suggested. And I thank you to all those that have provided me with a light to the path that I'm finding today, to my higher power, and to know that there's hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney. Thank you for sharing, and welcome to the line. Okay, Dan L., you'll be our last share.
My name's Dan. I'm a food addict. Thank you, everybody, for being here and everything that everyone does. You know, this guy turned his will and his life over the care of God, and it's like, that's how we get out of self, you know, freedom from the bondage of self. And myself, that's all not God's will, and that's where all my character defects come from. That's where all my problems come from, and that's what I need. It's just like the third prayer talks about, relief from this bondage of self. And I'm just so grateful. You know, I have a conscious contact with God today. And it can be on or it can be off, but usually it's on. And I need that. And I got that before I came into these rooms, back, you know, into OA, because I was going to die from food. You know, I'd had a double bypass and I'd had a heart attack and I was going to die. And, you know, God came into my life, you know, somebody kind of stirred that up. And then when I officially took the third step prayer, you know, wow, it just got so much bigger. And, you know, this paragraph, it talks about someone seeing something in someone else. That's how things happen a lot in life. Other people see things in us and they say something and we don't see it yet. And that's a gift. It's beautiful to be able to hear things like that. Thank you for letting me share. And the whole key to this is just, we need a power greater than ourselves, because we are powerless over food. Thank you. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Danielle. That's a great way to end our meeting. This was a great meeting. Thank you all for those who gave service this month, and all those who shared today. Great. So now we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Dawn B. to please read a vision for you.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.